This is the word of the week from HC3. Hi, I'm Pastor Bernard Plume, and in this word of the week, the sermon title is Joseph, the Quiet Rock. Now, there are slides and PDF notes available to download, and you can get them by going to hc3church.co.uk/go/rock. I really hope that you enjoy the message today. God bless you. So good morning, everybody, and we'll put that slide up and we'll see where we're going. We're going to be looking at the life of Jesus' stepfather, Joseph. He doesn't get a lot of publicity, but he's an amazing man, and I'm going to bring some characteristics out of his life. I'm going to read to you from Matthew 1, 16 to 25. That's up there, though the font is not that big, so I'm going to read so you can listen or observe. And it says this: Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, and Mary gave birth to Jesus, who is called the Messiah. All those listed above, because there'd been a big list of genealogies, include 14 generations from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the Babylonian exile, and 14 from the Babylonian exile to the Messiah. There is some dispute whether that list is complete or not, but we won't go there. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man. He did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. She will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child, she'll give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did exactly as the angel of the Lord commanded. He took Mary and his wife, but he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. It's a great Christmas reading. Sometimes we only read these things at Christmas time. We shouldn't, should we? We should study them all year round. So, a little bit of an introduction for you here. We live in a society or in a generation that worships the big personality. Who watches, you know, what's happening in the jungle? No, I don't like it. I think it's a load of old rubbish. But you may be obsessed by it. And we get what we call nowadays, the trend term is influencers, isn't it? So you can have your own YouTube channel, in case you don't know, and you can influence thousands on the lipstick you wear or what you eat or what you don't eat. There's one guy on there who just simply, you watch him eat, and he's an influencer. Well, I would say he's an influencer to getting fat, wouldn't you? It's some fascinating stuff. And then we even get it into, I mean, the slide is not too good, but we get what I'll call the mega pastor, he or she. And, you know, that they're on trend and people follow them, what they wear, what they say, what they do. But there is a problem when you have people who are prominently promoted. You know what the problem is? Because they are like a planet, aren't they? And around them, you've got all these followers who are like the other planets in their orbit or in their gravitational pull. What happens when that one big planet falls? The rest come down with them. Absolutely right. They all come crashing to the ground. Now, let me just sort of give you a bit of background here. What I'm saying is this. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with charisma or presence. Have you heard the phrase, when he or she walks into the room, it's just like the whole room turned around? Not necessarily because of what they were wearing, but there's just some people just have that presence, don't they? With a C and an E, not a T-S. That's a Christmas present. There's a presence about them, all right? And it's there. But what I'm going to suggest to you, Sloane, these things are okay, but those things in isolation should not be the measure of effectiveness or success. So I thought about Joseph, and I thought, well, this guy, he's By modern standards, he almost seems like he's an introvert, like he's shy, he's quiet. But I want to tell you that this man, introvert or not, is touching your life today. Did you know that? He's touching my life. Centuries later, we are feeling the benefits of Joseph. So by the time I finish preaching, I hope you'll say, I want to be like this guy. So if you're one of those people, and for me this is very strange, because if you say, Bernard, where is the last place you want to be? Honestly, it's here, right now. I love preaching the word. I love leading worship. I get by with a bit of playing and a bit of croaky singing. And I know God has called me to do it, but as a personality, I'm actually a shy, retiring introvert. Honest. Seriously. So I'm not putting on a front here. This is very, very real, but it's something that God has given me the ability to do, as he gave to Joseph the ability to be the stepfather of Jesus. So whatever role God calls you to, you can do it, yes? But do not be distressed if you're not one of those people that seems to have talents dripping out of every finger. God will use you. Joseph was one of these people. Here are how many points today, Bernard? 7, 8, 19? No. Oh, dear, I should not have used black, should I? Never mind. I'm going to read it to you. 5 truths about Joseph. He was a related man, a righteous man, a private man, a thoughtful man, and he was an obedient man. These sermons are wonderful. Do you know, during the week I had Spotify on, I was driving to Lawshall, and I was listening to a fabulous message that was all about sowing seeds. Ha ha, free commercial there for you, Nathan. And I was blessed again as I listened to the fact that I should be sowing seeds all the time, everywhere. So do listen to your Spotify, because some of this will come back to you. It will bless you. So let's have a look at this related man, shall we? So the angel comes to him and he said, do you know, Joseph, that you come from a favoured royal line? Don't worry, I'll speak everything that's up there. So if you can't see it, not a problem. You see, Joseph was in the line of King David. He had royalty in his line. Secondly, he came from a faithful line, because the Bible says that Abraham, the father of faith, was, if you like, somebody that was in that line going all the way up to Joseph. Not only that, oh, I've been searching out the F's for you today, he came from a fulfilling line. That's a good one, isn't it? Because things came to pass in his life that were prophesied centuries before. And lastly, thank God, he came from a family line. Do you love your family? Oh, I wonder. Some of them are a bit annoying, aren't they? Some of them cause you pain. Some of us cause them grief. But on the whole, families are good. I shall look forward to chaos this afternoon in the granddaughter's party, because it'll be rip, shred, tear. Ooh-hoo, look at that lovely present. Now let's play with the box. No, it's going to be a good time. Families are wonderful. Joseph was a family guy. He took care of Jesus. He taught him practical skills. Now, if you read your Bible, you don't read a lot about Joseph after Jesus was 12 years of age. Was he dead? Was he alive? The Bible simply doesn't say. So don't speculate. He might have still have been quietly there in the background as Jesus grew into adulthood and then entered into his adult ministry. I certainly don't think he was there at the cross, that's for sure. So he's somebody who's in the background. All this wonderful stuff. Now, all those F's I just brought out, they all apply to you. Did you know that you are a favoured person today? How many people cluster around and they want that mark of approval? Have you ever been in a works meeting where somebody is trying to gain promotion and they are, what's that lovely word? Sucking up. It's delightful, isn't it? And they are the yes people and the nod people, because they want to ascend the greasy pole, don't they? Not realizing they'll soon come crashing down and somebody else will be the flavor on the block. There's only one person you need favor from, and that is God. Because one day we are all going to stand before him. And we have a favoured position, because Ephesians 1:4 says this, that we were in Christ before the foundation of the world. How good are you at selecting Christmas presents? Those of us that are married here, does your husband, partner, wife, significant other, or whatever you want to call them, do they drop you big hints? As you pass by a certain perfume counter, do they sniff and say loudly, I like this one? Is that not a clue that you might want to buy that one? Do you, Well, yes, I'm not too good at that. Now, I'm being light-hearted today, but my friends, we need to be listening to those clues. And the clue I want to give you today is that you are favoured by God. What he said to Joseph is what he said to Mary. He's saying, would you receive it in your heart today? You may have been a Christian a long time. Receive it again. I am a favoured child of God. Say it with me. I am a favoured child of God. That's all you need. The second thing is, we said faithful, did we not? Or faith-filled. Here's the wonderful thing the Bible says about Abraham, that even though he is one as good as dead, he believed that out of him could come a nation. I don't know where you're at today. Maybe you want to give up on your Christian faith. Maybe it seems too hard. Maybe distractions are there. One of the things I wrote on my piece of paper is, Lord, help me to see the difference between duty and distraction so I can get rid of the distractions and truly lay out the red carpet for you in my life. But wherever you are, you have faith in you that can change things. There's more power in you than there is on the cross on the ballot paper slip that hopefully you will fill in on Thursday. Do vote, won't you? This is not a push for a party. It is a push for democracy and a system that people have given their lives to give us today. So whatever I think of A, B, C, D, E, F, or whoever, I'll use it. May God bless whatever turns out. Not only that, fulfilling, we said, didn't we? Fulfilled. Psalm 139:16 says this, that God formed us in our mother's womb. Now, if God formed you, it logically follows there's a plan for your life, yes? Some people with their children, they almost micromanage too much and they want every detail of their lives. They need to be individuals, don't they? You can point them in a direction, but they need to develop. But nevertheless, you are there helping them to fulfill the destiny that's on their life. I want to say to you today, listen to this, that God is watching over you. And that plan, he will make it come to pass. What an amazing God that over centuries, he planned out salvation, yes? Worked out that his son would come to a largely illiterate nation in a backward time, but would revolutionize the world through Calvary. And friends, the same dynamic is true of you today. Your life can have incredible impact. And not only that, family. I often refer to saying that my family was dysfunctional, not looking for a comfort stroke or anything like that. It just was. We had a bad reputation, but Berry was a lot smaller then than it is now. Certainly not as diverse as it is now. Certainly not the cafe culture it is now. And so this kind of reputation stuck with me, and it was like, you know, this large portion of chips on one shoulder and then some fish on that one as well. And it clung to me, and I thank God he set me free. So my genetic family was not the best, but I know this much, I'm now a child of God. Why is it when we sing songs like, I'm no longer a slave to sin, I am a child of God, doesn't it make you want to cry? It does me, I tell you. Something rises up within me that says, thank God that I am in the family of God. Everything that was true of Joseph because he was a related man is true of you. God is your Abba Father, your daddy. Walk away with this one simple truth from this first point today, my dear friends, family, that, from our God-given relationship flows multiple benefits. Religion will never give it to you. Attending a church will never give it to you, but relationship with Jesus Christ will. Here's the second thing about this guy. He was a righteous man. Joseph obeyed scripture with absolute integrity, but also compassion at the cost of his own reputation. We don't want to get too nitty-gritty here, but can you imagine what that man had to carry from a very strict, moralistic, religious, legal code, and then he rocks up and says, well, my wife's having a baby, and I'm welcoming that child. My goodness me, how the tongues would have wagged in the village, wouldn't they? This man was a righteous man. Why? Because before he got the revelation from the angel, he did what God told him. After he got the revelation from the angel, again, he did what God told him. And he did three things. He acted 100% in obedience before God, towards the community. He did the thing that he was supposed to do, and towards his wife. What a wonderful revelation that is, isn't it? When you are a Christian, you touch those arenas. Do you understand that? You touch that way, you touch this way, and you touch that way. And that's no good on a recording. I'm aware of that. I'm doing some visual signs. So you touch that way, God would, yes. You touch this way inward, and you touch the community there. What an impact we have. And this man did it with sensitivity. There was no, look, I'm about to do a wonderful charitable act by welcoming this lady who's got pregnant, and I'm not going to break off the engagement. He just did it well. And I'm going to suggest to you a very simple point. At every stage of our journey, we must do right by the word and others, often at our own expense. That's all righteousness means, doing what God asks in every situation. Righteousness is practically expressed in right living. It's getting harder and harder to do the right thing, isn't it? I can remember when I worked in a department of a company that I will not name because it's now going out on the internet, and I was in charge of purchasing things. And I happened to notice that in a utility block for the workmen, they were putting in some plated onyx taps. So I wandered round to the shower rooms and everything, and I could not see them. And I thought, I know where they're going. They're going to a certain manager's extension that is also simultaneously now being built, along with two diggers that have been on site there for the last month. And I said, I am not signing this invoice. I'm not signing it off. You will sign it. No, I'm not signing it off. You will sign it. No, I'm not signing it off. And I didn't sign it off because in integrity, I could not do that as a Christian. Somebody else signed it off and the work got done. You get the drift, don't you? But I was determined that that righteousness was before God and I would live it out. But let me tell you, the pressure was great to go with what was going on. Here's number three for us. He was a private man. We need to discern the difference between being insular and being private. Being insular means that you're not engaging with other people. We should be engaging with other people, yes? Getting into their lifestyle, telling them our concerns and our worries. That was part of the exercise that Pete did for us to be open and say, this is a challenge. I'm going to take it to my Heavenly Father. I'm going to go back and think about it. And off the base of that, you may choose to go to someone and say, would you pray that issue through for me because I want to roll out the red carpet for Jesus? That's how you express it in your life. But we need to be sensitive to the needs of other people. Now, I don't know about you, but you probably noticed I use social media, but not too much. But whatever platforms are actually out there, and they seem to change daily, there is this obsession with disclosing, isn't there? The expose. Now, I'm old enough to remember when there was a newspaper, pause for a drink, called News of the World. Anybody else old enough to remember that? Member of royal family marries a sheep. No. It didn't actually say that, but the one in America called the National Enquirer, I think, but they came up with a load of old gobbledygook. Well, now everybody's at it, isn't it? So I wave my paper and I say, I have in my hand the document that proves you're a scoundrel, sir. Is it true? Well, we'll let God be the judge of that, shall we? But the whole thought is disclosure. Pull down, tear down, obsession with the little details. I'm not too worried about whether Jordan is bankrupt, are you? Don't even know who she is, do you? Well, apparently she's bankrupt. Too much plastic surgery, that's what I say. Sorry. But we need a little bit of discretion in our lives, folks. You get what I'm saying? Do you remember that old phrase that said, need to know basis? That's what the boss usually said when he wasn't going to give you the pay rise you should have had 6 months ago. It was a need-to-know basis. No, I'm being a bit facetious there. Now, how do you get this stuff coming into your head? Well, I suggest to you that you receive information naturally, but you receive revelation supernaturally. But you should be discreet with your disclosures. Why? Because the Bible says about Mary that she received some incredible stuff, but she kept it all in her heart until the right time. I want to ask you to think again, and I know I've touched again about what you post and what you say online, but it's so important. What we impart will have an impact, yes? We'll be brutal here. You could cause somebody to take their own life because you could be that final straw that breaks the back. You get me? So do think through what you say. Here's a little thought. Who's ever heard of that thing of the 1997 Data Protection Act? Yeah, everybody gets scared, don't they? Oh, my goodness, we put a comma in there, and it could actually be interpreted as something like this. There's a right sense in which we need that protection. I had somebody else tried to steal my identity up once, and they rung me up saying they were me. That was interesting, wasn't it? Having a conversation with yourself. Hello, I am Bernard Plume. Oh, hello, that's odd. I'm Bernard Plume as well. That was an interesting discussion. Anyway, all I want to say to you, my friends, is this. This whole business, I'll perhaps over-egg the illustration there, maybe. Better come back and be serious. In us is heavenly data. Yes, it is priceless. A lot of it is personal. So be careful what you say, who you say it to, and where you disclose it. Yes? Let's make that a little thing that say, Lord, I'm not the best at discretion, you see, because part of me likes approval. And one way to get approval is to share information. I don't really want to tell you this, but this is a secret. And then 17 other people have the secret, don't they? Why? Because we gain the favour, because we're passing on that prized piece of information. That's what all the soap operas do, don't they? It's your mother, it's your brother, it's your long-lost sister that was a child of somebody else, and how many more times are we going to get that store line, and we finish up with a boom, 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 boom. Oh, that stood well, didn't it? EastEnders, you know the thump line that comes when the punchline comes out. Friends, I'm just saying, here's a little thing. Choose to protect people as Joseph protected Mary. You get where I'm coming from? Protect people. Privacy brings both safety and security in a very public society. Little reality check, because we're two-thirds of the way through now. Are there some bits and pieces there that are helping you? It's so exciting that Nathan's had to go, but we'll let him off. Right. A thoughtful man. Joseph considers what the angel said. Remember I said information can be naturally processed? So he is coming and he's thinking things through. There is nothing wrong with using this, yeah, and thinking sensibly thought through. But you also need what I'll call a supernatural revelation from God. So you'll get stuff that comes this way and you'll get stuff that's coming down that way. Now, here's a little thought from you. Do you remember, I can remember, I've been retired a number of years now, but they were always telling us we had to make a space for thinking time. And at the same time, they give us another 8 tasks to do. It's wonderful, isn't it? You need to think the process through. Oh, by the way, da-dum, ba-dum, da-dum. There's more stuff for the electronic or the physical in-tray. But I want to say to you that thinking time is a great buffer zone. Isn't it interesting that when these clever journalists and interviewers are interviewing someone, they are pushing, pushing, pushing all the time, seldom giving the person chance to think and give a reasonable answer, often interrupting or overriding what is being said. Why? Because they know that thinking time is a time you can gather those defences. It's a buffer zone to you. The Bible says this in Proverbs 29:20, a hasty speaker is a fool. I remember, I'm thinking, how many people will speak hastily at the office Christmas party this year and cause problems? Maybe. James 1:19 says we must be quick to listen, slow to speak. Do you think that mirrors our society or is it the opposite? Can I say that again so you don't miss it? Quick to listen, slow to speak. Isn't that the opposite of what we see around us? We're very quick to speak, we're slow to listen. And Proverbs 29:11, remember what I said about keeping some things to your chest? Says this, a fool utters all his mind. You need to keep some in the reserve tank, yes? So the dangers of swift speech will be this. Let me say that again, Teeth. The dangers of swift speech will that we're embarrassed because we feel we should have an answer. Yes? What is your answer, Prime Minister? What is your answer, Leader of the Opposition and everybody else in between? You should have an answer. Haven't you seen blah-de-blah-de-blah? Friends, avoid that stuff. All you need to say and do is what God asks you to say and do. Do you want to see the example from the Bible? Jesus? Mark 14:61, he's before the high priest, the religious leaders, he's in a mega crisis, and the Bible says he answered nothing. Diddly squat. Now, people may be offended by that, but if God's given you nothing to say, why say anything? Mark 15:5, he's before Pilate. Don't you understand, says Pilate, I have the power to set you free. Jesus said, you've got no power except my heavenly Father gives it to you. And that's all he actually said. But he did not justify himself. He did not say, I don't deserve this punishment that is coming. So I want to make a suggestion to you. When the world demands an answer, remember these 3 things. Number 1, silence will often save others, even if they do not deserve it. Sometimes in church leadership, you appear to walk away and people think you've made the wrong decision and you walk away with egg on your face, but you have done it to protect somebody else. Do you see that? So you're a big enough man or woman to accept the blow on somebody else's behalf. Number two, considered speech and few words are better than a rush torrent. It's a bit like when your child is young and they come in from school, and what did you do today? Our grandson the other day had a 10-minute conversation. Well, it wasn't a conversation. We were listening. You know what I'm saying? So what did you do at school today? And you listen and you listen. And it's lovely, isn't it? I absolutely adore it. But it's a torrent of speech. You can't absorb it all. As adults, a few words, friends, will suffice. And here's a good one for you. When people pressurise you, it is okay to say, I don't know, or I will not comment unless I bring value to the situation. That's a great one for meetings, isn't it? Am I actually going to add something to this discussion, or do I just want people to see that I've got a clever answer? Often done, isn't it? There were two disciples of Jesus, and they were called the sons of thunder. I think the Greek word is Boanerges, simply because they crashed about the place all the time. I want to give you a thought for this number four. Are you going to be a son of thunder or a daughter of thunder, crash, bang, wallop, or are you going to be a person with some considered thoughts? Sigh of relief, number five, and the final one. He was an obedient man. When God spoke, Joseph did it, on time and to the letter. And as I read the Bible, there is no instance of him debating, delaying, or disobedience. Three little D's there. You happy with that? Debating, delaying, or disobedience. Now, remember, he did all of this against a background of absolute hostility. You can say, well, that's okay for him. He's not got my life. Listen, my friends, he was pursued by the authorities. He was misunderstood by his community. He had to run for his life to Bethlehem and then to Egypt and then back to Nazareth, which was not the top five of places to live. All the way through, this rock man, this quiet man, this almost introvert man, just get on with it. When I look at that table at the end of the service, by the time we put the keys in the door, I want to see all the leaflets gone. Can I be very cruel here? I don't want to see a man that's fighting cancer having to deliver half of them. Oh, that's a guilt trip for you. It's how it should be, shouldn't it, folks, if we work as a body? So we don't debate, we don't delay, we just say, I'll do it. And isn't it wonderful when things happen? I've got to be careful here because I don't want to see that Tom's head up there goes like this, burr, 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 bang, and it's gone. But it's lovely to have someone who does it and it happens. Isn't that great? Doesn't it ease the pressure off that you could pick up the phone, send an email? I'm leading the service for Doring during the week and it's been lovely to engage with people that I can say, I need this and I know it'll happen. I don't have to check it. I don't have to send a reminder. It will happen. I want to be that kind of person, don't you? Because Joseph was. Irrespective of the scenario in our life, our command is to do what God asks us to do implicitly. Shall we wipe the whole thing up? Because we're going to have a jolly sing in a moment. Joseph was a related man, a righteous man, a private man, a thoughtful man, and an obedient man. Have you seen all that in his life? What an amazing man of God he was. So here's our summary. Joseph, our example, the quiet man with rock-like qualities. May not be the screamer, may not be the person that grabs the headlines in this media-obsessed world, but be noticed in heaven, friends, yes, by being like Joseph. Sermon in a sentence, here we go. Character is more important than charisma. Character is more important than charisma. I do appreciate your attention today. God bless you. Didn't Pete, and isn't Pete going to lead us well again in a moment? Shall we pray? Because look, it's 5 to 12, which gives us time to have a sing, have a pray, have another cup of tea, and then go home and rejoice, because you've got nothing to do in the afternoon, have you? Nothing to do. Oh, if only. Let me have a drink. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. Thank you for Joseph. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. This episode was recorded live at our weekly service on the 8th of December, 2019. If you enjoyed this Word of the Week, be sure to check out our other episodes by searching for HC3 Word of the Week in your podcast app. Alternatively, you can visit anchor.fm/HC3Church to listen to them the second that they're published. If you'd like to join us in worshiping God, you can find our details on hc3church.co.uk. And of course, if you have any feedback about this or any other episode, please tweet us at hc3church or email us at podcast@hc3church.co.uk. We'd love to hear what you have to say. God bless you.
Christmas can mean crackers. Crackers can mean terrible jokes, yes? Therefore, let us open the cracker of blueness and let us see what's inside. What music is played on the PA in Santa's workshop? Rap music. Oh. What do you call Santa's little helpers?
Penga.
Nearly. Subordinate clauses.
Oh.
Thank you. An easy one. What do you call an elf that can sing and dance in rhinestones? Elfis.
Oh.
Why don't crabs celebrate Christmas? Because they're shellfish.
Oh.
Or crustaceans, whichever you prefer. Here's a really clever one. I want a Mensa award for this. Why do Christmas trees like the past so much? Because the presents beneath them.
Oh,
God. Another two? Okay. I know you love them. Come on, come on. Right, here we go. What do you get, an easy one for the technophobes, when you mix a Christmas tree in an iPad? A pineapple. And you won't want to be kissing this, but what do you call a frog hanging from the ceiling? Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Mistletoed.
Aww.
Thank you so much for your attention. Praise God.